Right now, we're conducting an aerial recon of the colony area, a.k.a. La Colonia. It's in Liberty County. It's about 40 square miles. Started about 2010, 2015, the first complaints started coming out at county level. Since then, that time, it's been occupied by at least, I'm going to say, somewhere around 50,000, mostly illegal, Hispanic community. It's way higher than that. We're going to go look at it. We're going to compare it to August of 2023, when we came through here the first time on the first view for Operation Burning Edge.
On the periphery of the Houston metropolitan area, some 40 miles from downtown, is a string of developments that are changing the face of rural Liberty County. I'm calling it Colony Ridge, but it's actually six different adjacent subdivisions, all developed in affiliation with the Colony Ridge name, a development company started by pro boxer turned real estate developer Trey Harris. And it happened fast. In just over a decade, Colony Ridge has gone from uninhabited timber forest to the largest community in the county, with over five times the population of the county seat of Liberty. But nearly as soon as the subdivisions began construction, so did the controversy.
And now to Colony Ridge, where a community of about 40,000 people located 40 miles northeast of Houston has found itself in some controversy.
Some lawmakers even claim Mexican cartels control a portion of the community.
Colony Ridge made headlines last year when Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton sued its developers, accusing them of targeting foreign-born and Hispanic consumers with limited or no access to credit, with promises of cheap land and financing without moving
income. You can see this full report on your campaign site. Doc Chambers, in closing, people need to get behind what you're doing. It's so important.
Yep. That's it. Yeah, right. In closing, yeah, look, this is Doc Chambers. There are three movies I want you to think of because you remember movies. True Grit. This is going to require grit. Number two is Braveheart. I know there's a lots of Scotch-Irish in Texas. You understand this. We've got to unite the clans. I don't care what color your kilt is. Stop the bickering between the Tea Party and this one and the GOP. GOP hasn't been much help to us, but they will when the 4th of March comes around. And then the third movie is Gladiator. I've got to take this republic right here of Texas, Constitution, State of Texas, and I got to return it to the people. We need you. Go to docpchambers.org and look us up. Volunteer, $18.36. If you want to give $1,836, that's fine, but we got to put diesel in the tank and we're moving.
2 minutes on Trump and Iran and just where America is and the left, Antifa, the ICE stuff, just a general overview of the color revolution.
So 2 minutes on that. So this color revolution, these are all surrogates. These are all pieces of that. Think brown shirts. Think of, Germany, Hitler coming in, using those thugs, using those individuals to then go out and then create chaos, right? And in the seams and gaps of chaos, when nobody's looking and the mainstream media is talking about something in a mockingbird fashion, which then keeps us busy looking at this, that creates what's called the dialectic. Now, the dialectic is Fox News versus CNN, right? That's dialectic. So when you find people getting emotional, you're in that dialectic. You're already caught up in that matrix and you're not thinking straight. So back off of it, measure twice, cut once, and go to the sources where you're going to get the information that can drive true operations. Right. So you got to go places like this. You're going to have to go to the podcasters that you trust, and you got to get the information so that you can say and make an informed decision on who you're going to listen to, because otherwise you're going to spend a lot of time arguing and bickering and you're going to be caught up in that matrix. And that is what they're using. They're using that chaos to create this overthrow. It's an overthrow. This is a coup. This is a coup against our nation. So all those actors, when we talk about Antifa, we had one rush the stage in Georgetown just a couple weeks ago. Straight up Antifa. Dark glasses, Portland, Oregon hat on. He decided he was going to rush the stage, and he was going to get jiggy with a couple people were watching there. One of them happened to be an MMA guy. He had to tap out. So that don't rush the stage at any of our events, because there's some great Americans out there. And this is Texas, by the way. This isn't, Portland. So what we're seeing is, I'm watching this. I'm watching Texans standing up saying no, right? Remember the George Floyd riots? They didn't show up in Austin. Why? Because a bunch of Texas National Guardsmen, including me, went down there and stopped it from happening. It didn't happen here, and it won't happen here. And in the future, it won't happen here. That's what...
Well, the battle for Texas and America and the world is now. Doc Chambers, the campaign website again.
DocPeteChambers.org.
Don't wait for orders from headquarters. Go to the sound of the guns.
Yes, sir. Roger that.
All right, thank you so much.
Just move fast, because if you don't, you get one of these. You can't be fast.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. Out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah! I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings. The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
The future is now. Explorers from deep space crash land on a savage planet destined for annihilation.
Abandoned ship! Get out now!
They discover a world so unpredictable, so shocking, it will shatter your very concept of reality and reveal the dark destiny of man.
What alternate universe is this? What planet did I wake up in?
They own the banks, fund the wars, manage the politicians, control the media, and command the apes who enforce their tyranny.
You want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
They tried to silence the one man who saw it coming. And the world he reveals will challenge every idea you've ever had of freedom.
They cut her. Did you know about this?
No, I swear, I never saw that girl before.
But they... You did it. You cut up her brain, you bloody baboon.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
Prepare yourself for the most shocking ending in the history of motion pictures.
I've terrified you from the beginning, and I still do. You're afraid of me, and you hate me. Why?
Because you're a menace to our globalist plan. Be careful what you find, Alex. You might not like what you see.
Oh my God. You actually did it.
You activated the Great Reset, you maniacs! You pull it up!
damn you all to hell.
The Alex Jones Show, the most banned broadcast on the planet.
So
I'm a gorilla. Murder yourselves.
The year is 1995, and InfoWars launches the last of America's counter-globalist probes. In a freak mishap, InfoWars.com and Alex Jones are blown out of their trajectory into an orbit which freezes his life support systems and returns Alex Jones to Earth 25 years later.
Transdimensionally, over the space-time continuum through fault space.
Where people are extremely lazy, the social engineers are there laughing. What we envisioned 100 years ago, 20 years ago, is now reality. While the society unravels, men run around totally frantic, not knowing how to be men, and women run around frantic, not knowing how to be women, and they don't understand that it's an animating contest of life and that it's fulfilling to be informed, it's fulfilling to be involved, it's fulfilling.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
It's been about a month since Kyle Serafin has been on, and I want listeners to hear this again because I want to be real clear. I like to have the guests on that are consistently right. The corporate media wants to have on who consistently can lie the best and the most convincingly. My job is so easy. I don't even have to think about what I'm going to say because I do the research, and then I just say whatever I think is accurate. It is such a freeing thing to never sit back and say, what is my audience going to think of this? I don't come out with a product thinking what you'll think of it. I don't pitch gold or silver because of what you'll think of it. I don't have a political position because of what you'll think of it. It's because it's what I think of it. And that's because I respect you. And I always see the attacks, because that's all the establishment has, is Jones doesn't mean what he says, or he's on Trump's payroll. All I get is hell and pain for generally supporting Trump because he's better than Democrats. And I got confirmed by General Flynn, Susie Wiles up there with Todd Blanche after I refused to meet with him a few months ago to be my friend, creating opposition research on me. And so I thought I had a few years till the Democrats got back in to face grand juries in prison again. No, I guess I face it now. And then you're like, well, then don't support Trump. He doesn't know what's going on. He's 79. He's got so many irons in the fire. I know the MO, folks. He's done a lot of good. Kennedy's in there. Tulsi Gabbard, you name it. But that said, I have to proviso constantly that I don't endorse striking Iran. Notice it's not about reactors now. It's not about nukes. Now it's just about regime change. That's terrible. And then I have the paradox of Trump's not really in the Epstein files, but then by extension, he went along with Bongino and Bondi and, you know, all them with the cover-up. And then so by extension, he becomes guilty. So I have to then say that, and listeners go, well, my God, you're supporting a guilty man. Going along with a cover-up through all these layers, he's not saying cover-up. He's just, that's not being involved with the one piece of pizza will really take care of you and is very excited for seven people. And, you know, I mean, that's the Democrats. So it's very paradoxical because they're horrible. I want to keep them out of power. But then I'm also an honest person, so I'm sitting over here just provisoing with, you know, with big print, not fine print, everything I talk about. So that's where we are. So I wanted to get Kyle Serafin on with just where this is going, because, and I don't want to pick on Bongino, but get the clip I sent to you. It's like 3 minutes long. And I wanted to see it in context here today, so I actually went and watched like the longer clip, and I was embarrassed for him, and I really mean that. He's like a little kid screaming at the sky, I'm going to kick your ass, or a mountain. It was like watching a kid dress up like Batman that thinks he can beat his dad up or something. It was like, you know, like a four-year-old. It's like delusional. You know, you play along, they jump on you, oh, you beat me and all this. And he's like, screw all you people. You never served. You never did what I did. None of you could even have a word to say. Dude, you're deer in the headlights on TV 10 months ago. There is no Epstein. He didn't have accomplices. He didn't rape anybody, even though his partner in crime is in prison for it, and Crooks acted alone, and, you know, Butler, and no one's buying it. Not Congress, Not anyone. So it's like Bongino just kind of came back to his show and covered news to be fine. Instead, he goes, I'm the pod father. I dominate. I decide who's who, who's what. And of course, his podcast on Spotify, where I'm banned, is number one. Well, that's a dead cat bounce. I bet in a week it's like number 500. If it isn't about who's number one or number two, I don't even want to attack Bongino. It is the wild-eyed arrogance of this guy. And behind the scenes, the persecution of patriots that we'll bring out if need be, that he's emblematic of what's wrong in the Trump administration. And then the white pillars that say don't question anything when, no, we are able to move the needle when Trump's off course back to where he needs to be. We're the constituents. We're the guardians. We the people, right? But I want to spend all day on Bongino. I want to talk about Epstein, all the big irons in the fire that Kyle Serafin, who's batting 1,000 with his analysis, a top FBI whistleblower. And so I was about to reach out to him this morning, and I got busy and didn't do it. He reached out to me. We haven't talked in like a month. We'll kind of talk every day for a week and then don't talk for 3 weeks and don't talk for a month. So we kind of simpatico reached out. So I only said, please come on. I don't know why you want to come on. I got my questions. You can kind of tell us what you want to hit too, and hopefully dive into Epstein, Bongino, and all of it. But Kyle Serafin, very popular podcast. We'll put it up on screen. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Alex. Good to see you. How you doing, bud?
Well, I mean, I didn't serve in the FBI, so I'm not allowed to talk. But you are, so
you don't matter. That's what I hear. Oh man, it's really frustrating watching this stuff, and it's really kind of demoralizing. Again, I'm irritated by what Dan's doing right now, and I've had all these news reporters that couldn't care less about what I was doing for years, whether they be at the New York Times and yeah, I'll take their phone call, or whether they be at MSNBC and I'll take their phone call, and I take the NBC and the CBS and all these people, and they're not bad people, Alex. You know, at the end of the day, you find out too, people you don't agree with, it doesn't necessarily make them evil demons, even if they're on the mainstream media side of things. When you get them one-on-one as human beings and you get them to stay away from the editors and the approved narratives and you just have a regular conversation about stuff, I keep finding out that more Americans than not, we agree on probably 80, 85% of things. There's obviously some people out there you'll never reach, maybe 10% on the left, 10% on the right, of just real fringe stuff. But 80% of Americans probably could find 80% of things they agree on. That's my general consensus. And that's the reason why I don't have the reach that I used to have on X, because apparently that makes me an anti-Semite. I found that out over the last couple of days. I wasn't even going to tell you this, but it kind of naturally segues in. I found out that I'm an anti-Semite because I am pushing this concept that I've created. It's essentially a secular version of Christian nationalism, which means I don't care if you go to church and you espouse Christian ideology out loud. If you basically have the same beliefs and you can't tell me where they come from, but I know that they're Christian because that's what Christianity is, then I call you a bacon cheeseburger nationalist. That means you can eat bacon, you can eat beef, you can have cheese, and like you were talking about earlier, when people have gluten problems, you can eat a bun. That's a regular person in America in my lifetime. And maybe there's all these issues about it today, but it didn't used to be when I was growing up. And by saying bacon cheeseburger nationalism, which is kind of a tongue-in-cheek joke, that makes me an anti-Semite. And I found out apparently that if you don't support Dan Bongino, it's because you might be an anti-Semite as well. I found that out today when I was watching some of the clips, because I can't watch all this stuff. Anyway, it's just,
well,
it's
I mean, a really sad time. He does look like, I'm just going to say it, like he's on amphetamines compared to the way he used to look. And it's a whole tough guy act. It's just like, it's like very abrasive, and it's just like, doesn't he know coming out and attacking everyone and saying none of you ever did anything and don't criticize what we've done? I mean, he's like the worst thing you could do. I just...
For context, you did a great little bit about political suicide the other day. I saw you driving through the car, and I caught that on my feed, and I was like, yeah, that's what this is. This is an unnecessary, like, self-induced poor decision factory. It comes from hubris and pride, and you can be a proud person, but you still have to admit, like, you're going to either be humbled or somebody will humble you. And if you can't humble yourself, then it'll definitely come for you. And I'm watching
the
numbers.
I've learned in my life, anytime I got arrogant, I've never been a super arrogant person, but I've gotten a little pride, literally about hiking, and I have some good thought about myself. I always trip and fall. I never trip and fall.
That's exactly
the moment that, God, I am cool. Blah. You know, it's like,
I want to say, I can't remember where it was. I had one of those books when I was growing up. It was like one of those toilet books that they used to have in the 90s, like Chicken Soup for the Soul and like all these little quotes and different stuff like that. And one of them said something like, and I remember reading this when I was a younger kid, 20s. And it said, we experience a few moments in our life that are completely devoid of all fear and worry and concern.
And we should panic when that happens, yeah. Something to that effect, because the minute that you think you've got it all figured out, that's probably about the time you're about to get humbled. God has a pretty good way of doing that, setting us straight. I've heard Tucker Carlson said things to that effect where he thought everything was going his way, and then immediately, bam, it just knocks you over.
Bible, I look at the whole Bible is about do not be prideful.
And every time that the nation of Israel was, then they all got humbled. I mean, that was it. It was like every single time they did, what do they do? When you're prideful, you walk away from God, and then you experience a really rotten and exotic version of how to come back to God, because God's going to lure you back in by showing you how bad it can be. I'm looking at the numbers up here. They're up on my screen. And I've got 4 days ago, the first day back, Dan Bongino did 3.28 million on Rumble, his platform. The next day was 1.65. The next day was 1.3. The day after that, yesterday's show was 1 million. And today it's at about 700,000. It'll probably trend up just less than 1 million. So that's not a good trend. And it turns out if you tell everybody around you that you didn't do shit and you're nobody, and if you don't want to send money to Israel in a big spending package, and you don't want to go to war with Iran.
Let's talk about this, because you never talk about yourself. You really don't. I mean, I respected you when you exposed all the Biden stuff and targeting Christians, Catholic school kids, DEI. I mean, you and your guys got fired and everything. But you've literally been batting I actually think, where was he wrong? And I'm like, God almighty, this is a better record than mine. I'm a little bit envious. I'm serious. But I mean,
so far, we haven't had cash leave. So I haven't been right on that.
So you're wrong on that. Okay. Thank God you're not perfect. So the point, you're close though. So the point is that you've been an EMT, Air Force, FBI, all this stuff, but you never talk about that and say the public's all scum. The arrogance, right. If I wanted to turn people off, I would act like Dan Bongino. And then I've been sued, attacked, my family attacked. I've been through hell. I paid my dues. Like, and it doesn't insult me like I'm 10 years old. It worries me about him. Like, the derangement of this is like, just pathetic.
Alex, I was in the FBI for 8 times longer than Dan Bongino was. I don't know how you go out there and say I did 9 months, which I round up to be a year did. And he turned his company over to his wife and they kept making money and they filled his podcast slot with a guy who I actually like. I think Vince Colanese is a talented broadcaster. I like him as a person.
But let's be clear. You gave up your career, got fired. They tried to put you in jail. Cash still suing you. The point is I respect the Kyle Serafin that blew the whistle to the FBI and the one after it even more. It's not like this is some cakewalk here. So my point is...
I went 14 months without a paycheck, and I was spending my money while I was at the FBI after I'd been suspended with no pay, but they hadn't quite removed me yet, and they spent a long time not removing me. They eventually threatened me with felony prosecutions and said that we're coming after you for felonies that they sort of created. It was a tax evasion that they were going to get me. That was the felony. And it was because I had ordered what's called a solvent trap, which is like a precursor to a suppressor. And I'd sent it to the FBI's office because we had all these cases coming in talking about domestic violent extremists using solvent traps. And I was like, well, we should see what these things are before we start getting all out of it. I'm a gun guy, so I wanted to know what they were. I sent it to the FBI's office. They sent the ATF to my house while I was an FBI agent, knowing that I didn't have it shipped to my home and that it wasn't there. And I have the Ring Cam footage. I actually just sent it to my buddy who's an attorney. And he was like, wait, did this just happen? I go, no, this is the thing we dealt with back in 22.
So they were trying to claim you embezzled a silencer.
I failed to pay the $200 tax stamp on a thing that's not actually a suppressor that cannot be fired with a gun. If you were to take the thing that you buy from like China, which is what it was,
so you were studying one of these kind of like they have synthetic designer drugs. It isn't even legal yet. You were just seeing what it was.
Well, I sent it to the office so we could take a look at it because we have firearms instructors there. We had cases on people that were like making these things, and I wanted to see how did it show up. So it was like $100 out of my pocket to just see what it was. It's Chinese aluminum. It's not useful. Anybody who's got suppressors, and by the way, I had 7 suppressors. I think I had 6 of them on order at the time that were waiting to be fulfilled. So it wasn't like I was trying to like...
That's a classic thing. You'd have Somali stealing $24 million.
That's right. After Kyle Serafin and send the ATF to my house where my babies would have been.
But remember, they did that. Who was the guy that exposed that they didn't kill bin Laden and that they were supporting Colonel Schaefer? They literally tried to get him using a company phone to call his wife. And they were going to try to indict him for like pencils he bought.
The craziest thing too, Alex, was the reason that they actually came after me. This is totally aside, but this is an interesting thing for firearms people. There was this whole story for a while about this guy that ran an account on GunBroker, which was called Rifle Remedy 2000. And I had this conversation out in Las Vegas about 3 weeks ago when I was doing SHOT Show. And they're like, what the hell is your connection to the gun story? And we started talking about this. This account called Rifle Remedy 2000 was selling Chinese parts. And that's where I ended up buying this thing. And like I said, sent it to the FBI's office. I wasn't trying to take it to my house. And then one of my buddies who's a federal agent goes, hey, did you order one of those solvent traps? I go, yeah. And he goes, where can I get one? And I go, oh, there's this guy. He has this account. I'll go look it up. So I responded to that guy's account and I wrote to him and said, hey, can you get any more of those? Do you have them? And I didn't tell him that a federal agent wanted to buy them. And I don't know what the guy was doing, whether it was for a case or whatever else, but he was probably doing the same thing I was, looking into this thing. And it turned out that that guy was an ATF source. And that's why they sent the ATF to my house. So they had an ATF source run a sting on a current FBI agent, which, of course, was, me. And they knew where I worked. They knew what was going on.
Sure, so they were trying to sell you the whole time. Shifting gears out of that. Epstein, what do you make of this? Because you were the one that got me the FBI whistleblowers that said, yeah, they're going to raid the New York office. They got it hidden. We broke that. Then you said, yeah, they have sent out the FBI offices. Then later you said, nope. They're not looking at it. They're shutting it down. Clearly, there was an attempt to cover up. Then they decided not to. Now it's come out. Now Trump says it vindicates him, which it really does. But now he still has the taint on him of, like a dog rolling at a dead animal. And just where do you make of seeing these files and this craziness? Just talk about Epstein.
It's not going to go away. I think they just keep thinking if they just said Todd Blanche out, or if they send Pam Bondi out to talk about it, or if they send Cash Patel to say, Brett Baer, this is it. You got it. And we did a great job. And we've released more documents than anybody else in history. The problem is this. You sent out your attorney general on day one, and she was following up on a campaign promise, which was made by J.D. Vance. It was made by Donald Trump Jr. It was made by all these different surrogates that came out and they said, we've got to get to the bottom of this thing. And Epstein, as just like the concept of Epstein, has gotten to mythical proportions, at least in the American minds. And we don't know what the reality
of it
was.
And now it's even more mythical.
It's way worse because you had a person come out and say there are thousands of children victims and videos. And she said it on hidden camera to O'Keefe. She said it out loud in various things. She said, the files are on my desk. The clients are on there. They've done heinous things. There's all these really bad
guys.
They're
out of jail. Like,
okay, fine. And so you made these claims. And then you delayed. And then you delayed. And you waited longer and longer and longer. And then you said, well, nothing's coming out. And then you had to have an Epstein Transparency Act. Then you attack Tom Massie and say he's the bad guy for simply passing an act that said we're going to go out and do the thing. And you're now authorized by Congress to give it to
us. Let me stop you. We're going to come back and cover this. But do you remember, we got it. I wish I had a bigger crew. The crew's great. We used to have more crew that could do it. You came on like 8, 9, 10 months ago and you said it's bad managers setting them up. And now that's kind of come out. I'm not trying to give them an out. It's true. How did you nail that back then? Because they have set them all up.
Because the government is run from the middle out. Everyone thinks that it's either run from the bottom up, and that's obviously not true, and it's certainly not run from the top down. The middle-level management of the government has never changed. It's my ongoing supposition that unless you exile or execute, and I mean that by like sending them away to somewhere where they can't cause problems or get rid of them, terminate them, you are going to have ongoing resistance to what we think should happen. And by the way, Trump actually said what the answer was during the campaign. He said he was going to fund the entire government through tariffs. If that's the case, we have to get rid of 90% of the federal government. Most of the federal government is a jobs program. They do not have a function that matters to you. It doesn't matter to me. And when we have a government shutdown, you and I don't recognize it because it doesn't matter.
And then, of course, they don't prosecute real criminals because the law firms and all of them get a piece of it one way or another. Instead, they prosecute real Americans trying to fix the problem.
Well, and this goes back, and we'll talk about it in just a second again, but this goes back to the same problem that happened with them going after Catholics in Richmond, Virginia. All the people that did all the bad things that I highlighted personally, and I lost my job over it, and I can never work in law enforcement, and I got blackballed from doing a federal job again. So I'm now relegated to doing what I do now, which I don't hate, but like none of those people paid with their jobs, and certainly none of them paid with their freedom. Because nothing has actually changed. And if you don't actually correct the problem and people don't see like, hey, if I screw up, I'm going to lose my job and maybe my freedom, then nothing will ever happen.
That's the key to all of it. They don't think of any repercussions.
That's right. There's no accountability.
They have no fear. We'll be right back. And that's a big problem. The good guys do what we do, which is the right thing to do. We still get hurt.
RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you're...
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something.
Sure.
Crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, I kind of dropped the ball because this morning when I texted Kyle and said, come on, I didn't even say about what. Obviously, it's Epstein. We stare into the abyss, you become the abyss. Fight monster, become a monster. We shouldn't even got into Bongino, but he is tied to glyphosate cover-up, so we'll hit that at the end. So arrogant, so his... yeah, he deserves it. 100% prediction, he's done. So just, I'm going to stop. But it's a good example for others not to act this hubris and chutzpah filled. But moving on from him... Start over, because I'm not gushing here. Let's get Bongino off. Enough of him. Take him down. Take him down. It's super. Mr. Potato Head. No, seriously.
I'm thinking about like what kind of Botox it takes to make your head look a little bit weird like that. It's a little off. So,
well,
it's not for me. Man, I just want to age like a normal person. I want to get gray in my muzzle. I want to have wrinkles. My wife would be like, you have wrinkles. And I'm like, didn't I always have that? She goes, no. And I'm like, good. Then I earned that stuff. Like, I earned it like a man. Just like I like having calluses on my hand. Like, what's funny, tell me this. Let me just delay right there for 1 second, Alex. The funniest thing, your entire job history equals you were a cop for a couple years, you were Secret Service, and then you ran a podcast, and then you went and you were sat at a desk at the FBI for 9 months. And that means what? Like, how many people are out there working jobs that are real? I've been asked under depositions whether or not I have a real job right now. And sitting in this chair and speaking to people, while it may be impactful and it may be meaningful, I have no illusions that it's a real job. And I said that to them. They're like, do you have a real job? And I'm like, no. A real job, like, is digging ditches. A real job is, like, pulling wire.
Yeah, but I kind of disagree with you because you got to do a lot of research. You get sued.
There's a lot of work. I get it. But I'm just saying, for me, my dad told me when I was a little kid, if you can sit down, it's not a job. And so a lot of jobs I've done were not jobs.
Like,
and I've done some really hard physical jobs, too.
Killed in high, like, the guys when the storms hit, and they're up there, like, 24 hours a day in the freezing cold, stringing.
That's a real job. That's a real job. Right. People who bust their ass. I used to work in a restaurant where I was on my feet for 12, 16, 18 hours a day. I came home smelling like grease. I've shut down a restaurant that I had a migraine so bad that I drove home and puked on the side of the road multiple time.
No, let me tell you, I got sent for a year when I got kicked out of high school for a year to work for a large animal vet. And I worked 11 months
that's
there.
That's real work. Oh, putting your hand up some animal's ass.
Let me tell you, you think you know, well, that was the easy days. Because he ran his own artificial insemination deal, and maybe like once every few weeks he'd palpate and do flushes and get the embryos, and we'd artificially inseminate and do all that. That was an easy day. No, you pull up, he'd hire the cowboys, you know, that he had, but it was always like day jobs. You'd pull up at what they called a hamburger ranch, meaning the cows go right to slaughter, you know, they're grass fed, and they all got their horns, and they've never been given shots. You got to give them shots, cut their horns off for the sale. So you pull up, and there's a pen of 500 and another pen of 1,000, and it's 7 a.m., and you're getting out, and you got your hot shot little cattle prods and PVC pipe. And you got to climb in there. And the easier job is risking your life to have total confidence and wave them around and try to get them into the chutes. The hard job is running the electric dehorner or giving the shots or putting the nose tongs in. And a lot of times my job would be 12 hours jamming nose tongs into a cow that's you're about to have its horns cut off inside of the squeeze chute and then tying it off. And then like I couldn't do it more than an hour. I watched cowboys go 6 hours running an electric dehorner, big old pieces of metal, giant buzz saw, and they don't just cut out, they go, blood spray everywhere. And those guys would go 6 hours after like 30 minutes, and I was in good shape.
Just freaking arms could studs, not, right?
Like, oh my. And then they'd say, I got a haul 18 wheeler to Houston. And then they'd be back the next morning. These were maniacs, man. I hope people understand. Yeah. I mean, we're talking maniacs.
I got a couple friends that are real, actual professional cowboys. I used to work with a guy that was out in New Mexico when I was in the FBI out there, and I used to shoot coyotes on his property. And you shake their hand, and you're just like, that is freaking iron. I got a buddy who polishes boats for a living manually with a hand or with a hand, even with a spinning, like a little polisher. You shake his hand, and you're like, holy shit. Like, that. Like, that's what I always think of when I think
of
real work.
Well, let's be clear, too. Sometimes I would ride back with the cowboys and not with the vet. He had a couple vets work for him. And it'd be like 8 o'clock at night. I'm totally exhausted, covered in just sweat and dirt and everything. Oh, the worst part was we'd also get sheep and trim their hooves because they in the softer East Texas dirt they grow over. So you got to grab them, flip them, do it. They'd be like, "Let's pull over here and have a little fun." And it's just like that movie Joe, based in East Texas, where they go to the whorehouse. And I'm like. No, I'm not going to have these hookers. They're like, you're a pussy, sit in the car. And I'm like, I already got a girlfriend, dude. Those guys were something else. Like, I mean, I don't know how they did it. It was something else.
Different era, different type
now,
of people.
Now we're telling some stories we shouldn't be telling here.
Whatever. Those
how many
are, that's
times
what
I
when someone says a real job.
Whorehouse. Do what?
We're going to get you roasted on that one. I don't know. I just look at certain people and I take them and I go, okay, that's a serious thing. Or you're a soft person that sits in front of a camera. You never done anything real hard. And your last job was what, sitting and telling people.
Mongino thinks he's tough. I don't even know what's that radical anymore in East Texas. This was the early 90s. Go work in industrial animal husbandry. And you go, you know.
That sounds so brutal. Yeah, even with whatever modern technology, I guarantee it. You just had Doc Chambers on. Doc Chambers is a hard guy.
Yeah, like, he is.
That's a man with hard hands.
Let's start over. The Epstein thing's only getting bigger. It's only getting bigger. Yeah. It's only getting worse. What happens?
Here's why it's a problem, Alex. The FBI basically got drawn, kicking and screaming like the cattle used to have in the chute that didn't want it. And they finally gave up the ghost and they just said, here's 3 million files. Like, do what you want with it, a-holes. And now people are paging through it and trying to figure it out. And they're using AI to assess it. And they don't know why the things were gathered or what the context was or what it means. And it's not in order. And it's not serialized in some sort of logical investigative path. The same thing that I told you probably 10 months ago, which would have been the answer then, would be if you want to get out in front of something like this, you do it real simply. You bring the case agents who knew the theory of the cases that actually worked it, that understood why. Maybe you got to bring them out of retirement and incentivize them and give them a bonus to come in and do a news conference to explain what is this tranche of data? What does it mean? And why do we have it in front of us? What is the context for these emails? What is the context for this thing? Did you actually investigate and find out there was nothing there? You know, what are the ECs or the electronic communications that explained what this raw evidence means? And what order did it come in? And instead of doing that, what they did is they threw 3 million pages at Americans and just said, do whatever you want with this stuff. And it means whatever you want. So you can think about it. So it looks terrible on Trump yet again. And then people are picking and choosing and going, well, this email looks really salacious and you don't know what it means or why it was there or how it got there. Here's a clip of Tucker Carlson talking about neocons. Why is that in there? Well, I don't know, but I guarantee you the person who put it in that file knew. So if they had just gone out there and done however long it took, a press conference, and they just took the air out of the story, and they said, here was the theory of the case. Here was the predication that came from the federal end. These were the federal crimes we investigated. This is why we couldn't substantiate them. Here's the evidentiary steps we took. We did this legal process, and we collected this. And then we did this legal process, we collected that. And then we went and did a search warrant, and here's what we got out of the search warrant. And some of the stuff was unreadable, and some of it got lost or something, or whatever the hell it was, because there was all this story about losing evidence. And so why? And how did you explain it? And what? And whenever you lose evidence, you have to write up an explanation on how it happened and where it happened and why it won't happen again and how you can mitigate these problems and were they existing problems or was it novel and new and blah, blah, blah. There's all of the explanations existed. And there's institutional knowledge that happened in the people that ran these cases. So why did we not make that available and do something intelligent instead of just saying, here's a bunch of crap, make of it what you will,
but Kyle,
and it's going to look
Kyle,
really bad forever.
Kyle, in fairness, when you got 3 million files and a lot of it coming in right up into December, you think people filed on a hotline, how would they ever put that out? But that said, why are they blacking out the John's names but leaving the victim's names in?
Yeah, assuming that they're John's, which we're keep being told that they're not John's, because that was the question that was asked of Todd Blanche the other day. Hey, what about the men that abuse girls? And he's like, you're assuming that there were men abusing girls. Yeah, we are. Can you explain to us why these
and
names are blacked out? These people that are going back and forth.
Cash Patel and Bongino in the headlights thing. What month was that? July or June? When was the deer in the headlights thing? And then they did the little tour on Joe Rogan. And they're like, he wasn't a sex trafficker. He had no accomplices.
He trafficked to himself and nobody else.
These
and,
aren't the droids you're looking for.
All of it is incredibly damning. It's career suicide for the people that were involved in it.
By the way, did you see how angry Blanche looked in that clip?
Right, and why? Like, there's nothing to be angry about. If you come to me and you said, Kyle, you gave me some information, but it wasn't sufficient. I don't understand. And I would go, oh, okay. Well, how can I help you understand? That's what regular, sensible people do if they're being transparent, which we keep hearing about the most transparent organization
Blanche
in history.
Like, if I get that clip, Blanche, what was the exact name of the clip? Probably on your ex. It was like Blanche says.
He says something to the effect of, yeah, he's talking about whether or not there's going to be prosecutions. And he says you're assuming an awful lot that there would be, like there's even
Yeah, Blanche says that there were basically no men raping women. And he looks really mean to the guy. You kind of see his real side. He goes, why are you asking that? Why are you claiming there's any victims? And we're like, what the hell are you talking about?
Right, because you can listen to his earlier part of the statement, and it sounds like there are victims. We keep hearing about that. We heard from Pam Bondi, his boss, that there were all these victims, and that's why it took so long, and we had to censor the names of the victims. And all victims of whom? They're just victims of this dead guy, Jeffrey Epstein. And then there's even weird stuff that was released this morning, which makes it even worse, that there was a flash of an orange jumpsuit showing that there was somebody else that went into that space that apparently was where Epstein
was
being held.
Well, what about this? Because we have jail guards saying he was doing weird thumbs up, weird stuff going on, and then they wheeled him out in a wheelchair, chained to it, and then they had boxes and stuff as a fake body. These are affidavits.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not, and neither do you. So how about the people that did the investigation, and we can look at them and decide whether we think they're credible or not. That
well,
seems
I
like a regular thing you
3 months ago
do.
About, and I don't have a hard-on for for Blanche, you know, because he killed the Ed Martin investigation and what was done to me. Okay. My issue is I keep getting told by everybody other than Ed Martin, who would just stay on my case, that the guy is blocking everything. I mean, he is. So now do you have a feel for him, or is he, what the hell's going on with this guy?
I have the same feel you do. It's like there's got to be a road. There's got to be a log jam somewhere. And the deputy in the FBI, the deputy at the DOJ is the most powerful. It's supposed to be the most operational position. Until 15 seconds ago, he was a Democrat. I had the same questions about people that are in various parts of Trump's cabinet that used to be Democrats. If I don't see a reason why. I mean, you got people like Scott Bessent out there who spent 20 plus years working for Soros, literally working for Soros, and was a VP in there and made a bunch of money on it. So you start looking, you're like, who the hell are you hiring? This is my ongoing contention, Alex, and this is not a black pill or a doomer. This is an honest question to people who are watching. Is there even an American conservative political right in partisan politics? And my answer that I've come up with is no. And I don't mean that as a way of saying like there's no hope in the world. I'm just saying there's nobody that represents a guy like me. What I see are sort of radical leftist commies. The people on the Democrat Party are facing the left, whether they agree with the crazy commies or not. That's kind of who runs the energy
of
that party.
That's who drives the boat. Yep.
That's right. And then when people say there's a uniparty, I look at the Republicans and I just go, those are just a bunch of 90s liberals. That doesn't mean they're bad people. I think the country was mediocre. Okay.
They're
it was
adverse
better in the
to conflict.
Than it is today.
They're all getting rich. They're in on the crumble.
Yeah, they're
years.
All into new wars.
So
right?
What's going to happen to Trump? I don't think he realizes how bad this Epstein bad response
I think
is.
That if he doesn't. Yeah, he's got a really narrow window. Look, we're in the third quarter, to use a football analogy, which I'm not real crazy about. But like we're in the third quarter because your whole game is from inauguration to midterms. After that, they basically make it so that you're ineffectual and you're a lame duck starting in, or, you know, the beginning of 2027. So that's a real possibility. January 3rd, January 5th of 27, then there is no longer any possibility of movement. Now, that may not happen. There may be nothing you can do, but I think that you've got indictments. I think that you've got the potential of just getting jammed up when it comes to, you know, any agenda is screwed. So you're going to be, you know, relegated to writing things on executive orders and showing that you can't do anything.
Well, sure. But so what does Trump think's going to happen When they get control of Congress, they're going to go after everybody.
He has to know that. He said it. He said it over and over again. In fact, there was an Axios article today that said not only are Republicans worried about losing the House, they're also worried about losing the Senate. And I'm told that Trump reads Axios every single morning. And that's the fear that he's seeing. And it's realistic because the only way you get people to show up for the midterms. And the only thing that's going to matter, you're going to have people on the right that are always going to vote the way they are. There's MAGA people that will crawl over broken glass to help Donald Trump.
You energize
and I understand
the
that.
Base with real indictments.
Well, the other thing is you're going to have to get people that are independents that generally would lean towards your agenda. Like Donald Trump is not my personal Lord and Savior. And he certainly doesn't answer all the things. He's not the most conservative president, even in my lifetime, probably.
Well, that's my question. I want your opinion on this. I do what I think's right. So people spin and go, you're getting money to support Trump. No, all gets lawsuits and destruction. I see him as so much better than the Democrats and Kamala.
There?
So much better than Kamala and them. Like, I'm trying to promote Kennedy and Gabbard, the good things he's doing. And then I'm also over here upset. It's the opposite. I found when we have a big audience, we can actually get Trump sometimes to do the right thing. So I can't just abandon Trump. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, just for people's awareness, like when you and I have private conversations, like you're just like this. So if people want to know, like I always have people talk to me. They go, you know, Alex Jones. I go, yeah, I know Alex. And they go, you know, what do you think of him? I go, Alex Jones is exactly the guy that you see on TV. It's the same guy that's in my phone. It's the same guy that leaves me voice messages. It's the same thoughts. It's the same attitudes. It's the same energy level. It's like you're that guy, which is funny because that's not the case for everybody. Some people put on an act. They get to the microphone. Their voice changes. And suddenly they're this persona.
Yeah, I wish I could be like those people because I can control myself. No, I'm completely out of control.
I know. That's true. I always say, Alex is a madman, but he's an honest madman.
The joke, they always say he sold out because I'm so real. It's only the attack they have. Like, I don't even know how to.
Like, you wouldn't even know. And I don't know who you would sell to, like who's buying it. But,
exactly.
Yes. So at the end of the day, I don't care about Trump for Trump's sake. And so I'm different than a lot of people. I'm not a MAGA guy because of that. I'm a person that's interested in outcomes. I want things that are good for my kids. I got four little kids. I want things that are good for my family. I want a de-weaponized government, like more than anything. I really want a government that can't come and attack me and my family and you and your family and the listeners.
Exactly. No, that's what I want.
I've seen it.
Is I want the dogs called off. And I've said through self-preservation, I have thought as Trump is better than polls. I've confirmed it. They got Todd Blanche and Susie Wiles running opposition research on you, your name, me, Flynn, and about 100 other people. I'm pissed,
100%.
Yeah, no, we pissed these people off. I have the government breathing down my neck again, all because criminals and corrupt people in the Trump administration are scared of me as a real American patriot getting Trump right. That makes me so pissed, man.
I can't tell you, Alex, how many people have reached out to me personally that are J6ers, that are prominent profile people that obviously came afoul of the previous administration and have told me, I am more worried about this administration than the previous one because this administration puts on the facade that they're on my team. And I know that they're doing things that are nefarious against
me. And meanwhile, Kathy Tell is suing you for nothing.
Yeah, she's suing me. Yeah, and by the way, there's a couple other things that I'm not going to talk about just yet, but there's some other really weird stuff that's going on in the background, which let me give you the teaser version of it that my wife and I were talking about. She's like, so the CIA is threatening to sue us. And so there, you know, that may happen at some point where this, like, basically, like, this government agency.
By the way, it got partially declassified. The CIA ran it through the FBI. The CIA did sue me. What do you think Sandy Hook was, brother? That was the CIA.
I understand. And I'm just telling you, like, I'm looking down the barrel of something like that coming my way as well. And when you start looking at it, not only that, but we have enough sourcing, and that's the advantage I have, that the arrival of some legal process just by email, because they don't know where I live, apparently, which is
even
funnier.
But it also shows how weak they are, that they're having to come after you and me.
You're coming after a guy that's living in a house. I don't own this house that I'm sitting in. I'm renting. As Chambers was talking about, 40% of Texans rent. I'm renting in this home, and I'm a threat to you. I told somebody on the park, I'm standing outside in our little HOA playground with my kids, and I said, guys, the funniest thing about my podcast, which is not big, and it doesn't have Dan Bongino numbers, like, that would be great. It lands on somebody's head in Washington, D.C., because what we're saying is accurate and true, and they feel it. It lands on them, and they go, oh, crap. And I'm going to give you an example. I sent this to your folks. I 3 years ago, day after tomorrow, so 3 years ago Sunday, I broke a story, which I don't break stories. That's not my goal. But while I was without a paycheck, while I had no money coming in, while I was trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do with my life, I had no plan or anything. I wrote an article exposing my former agency, which I was suspended from forever, exposing that they were going after Catholics in the Richmond Diocese.
Yeah, that was the biggest, persecution story of the year.
It was, and it's still
said
referenced
you were
today.
A hero, and now he says you're garbage.
This is exactly right? Jim Jordan's office, they don't want to say my name when they bring this thing up. They always reference, the FBI, they went after Catholics. What did they do right after that? They freaking funded those people at the full levels. Every single time for the last 3 years, they funded all of it.
They brought in the FBI agents that ran that and promoted them.
Listen, not only did nobody get fired, there was a couple of reprimands under Chris Ray, apparently. This is where it got really gross. I sent your guys some background tweets, and people can find them in my timeline because I just posted them over on X. Here's where it gets really crazy. The guy who ran the office in Richmond that signed off on this infiltration of a Catholic church and clear violation of the First Amendment and also like a really dangerous precedent, that guy's name was Stanley Meador. And Stanley was able to retire from the FBI, but not before he was promoted by Kash Patel, stood behind him at press conferences, hung out while Kash was saying, let good cops be cops. So now you've got the guy that I'm looking at. I'm like, this is one of the problems. And he's standing behind the new director who's supposed to fix it. Dan Bongino went out and retweeted his posts and said, you know,
by the way,
this guy was taking videos.
Out of bounds. We didn't get what you sent, but just.
It's over on the X on the back row thing. And if they can find it, great. Yeah, if not, big deal.
We'll go to X. But by the way, I'm going to call you when the show's over in 5 minutes because I want to know about the CIA thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll tell you more. So here's the crazy thing.
The CIA is threatening you now?
We'll talk about it more. It's like kind of a weird situation, and it could go nowhere. It could be something that's really explosive. I don't like to hype stories until they happen. And, you know, I may need to do a legal fundraiser because it's a really powerful attorney. But the problem is this. When you start looking at what these guys have done, they promoted this guy, Stanley Meador. And Stan Meador was just appointed to be the Secretary of Public Safety and Homeland Security in now communist Virginia, which just flipped over to a CIA asset or a CIA former case officer, Abigail Spanberger. So you took a guy who was going after Catholics because they could. And then what do? They promoted him onto the new administration. He retired with no, you know, stain or blemish on his record and then turned around. And the next thing that happens is the dude is now running public safety and Homeland Security for Virginia.
And they have the new attorney general there that said that he was going to kill Republican legislators and their kids on record.
That's right.
The Democrats love that. And so I'm guessing what the story is. You're exposing these people that are anti-Catholic at the CIA that are in government. Is that what they're threatening you over?
No, it's worse than that. I'm not going to say it right now. It's too sketch, Alex. What I don't need to do is trigger whatever the next thing that they're thinking of. Right now, it's just been a warning, but it's a weird warning. So I promise you, I'll tell you if something more comes to it.
This new woman, we'll all be involved. This CIA governor, she's Bamberger. Literally a maniac.
Yeah, and they've decided to go on a full suite of anti-gun stuff and anti-First Amendment and anti-Second Amendment, and exactly what you'd expect would happen when you have an opportunity to go. This is what you're going to look at. This is like what 29 will look like. This is why it was so important to take apart these mechanisms and these weapons
systems. Oh, this new attorney general is 10 times worse than Letitia James. He goes, I will destroy Trump.
Right.
Put me in. I will get in Trump. But, Todd Blanche didn't worry about that. He's worried about us.
None of these people seem to see the imminence or the lateness of the hour. And the hour is late and the danger is growing and it continues to grow. And like, that's not people just talking about it. It's, you know, I'm to the point where it's like, okay, I'm just going to work on my fitness, which I do every day now. And I make sure that I'm staying fit and I make sure that I'm around my babies and I tell them I love them. And I wait and make sure I do my training. And twice a month I do firearms training because I don't know what it looks like at the end of this.
No,
and
I agree. Think like, I'm signed off. Like I'm a kamikaze at this point. I'm just like, okay, whatever happened. I mean, I used the Star Wars analogy in episode 4 when the Death Star is orbiting the planet to fire. And it's like 3 minutes, the Death Star cleared the fire. And I'm just sitting there watching the Republicans do this. And I'm just like, okay.
That's it. Like, what are these people doing? And it's like, you had clear answers. We gave you a target list. Now, a lot of the people that I've highlighted, which is what my social media feed is all about, I'm a very different guy than I am on X. So anybody who follows me on X and is mad about me being mean, I am mean on X. But it's because it's a weapon system. I use it to project names into the administration.
Well, how many people have you gotten fired?
Said, we've had like 40, like a bunch. We had a bunch. One of the guys that I was telling you about last time, I didn't even realize he was fired. A guy named David Geist got fired, and we called him out on your program a couple of times, and I posted some stuff about it on X, and then I found out like a couple days later he was fired. He was fired in November of last year.
They sent special forces in to illuminate or give the coordinates of a target. That's really what you've been doing, and you've been proven right.
I'm doing call for fires, 100%. Yeah, I'm doing call for fires, and these idiots could have had me as a friendly because I offered that. And what happened instead is that the FBI director ghosted me on day one, which is his prerogative. He isn't required to talk to me.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. That's why he's attacking the most evil organizations ever, because he's a coward and didn't serve like me.
That's right.
Meanwhile,
there were whisper campaigns.
Gino ain't got any notches on his belt. He didn't take down nothing.
No, we got 40 scalps on the wall behind me. So, like, you know, that's what I do. And at the end of the day, like, I have a very narrow target set. I'm not targeting everybody for everything. I know some of the things about some of it. I know that Tulsi Gabbard had to go down and hang out in Georgia while they were doing the Fulton County search warrant because nobody trusts the FBI.
Because the FBI head just got fired in Georgia. He blew the. She tried to have him cover it up. He told them they were coming.
Exactly. Yeah, of course. That's why you send people that you can trust. And the funniest thing is watch the smear campaigns that are going against Gabbard. Do you know who's not running out to the cameras every 10 seconds? Tulsi Gabbard. That's why she's actually the dangerous one. And I would have been shocked to hear me say that a year ago because I was super suspicious of her. But she had a life-changing event. The government targeted her multiple different ways. And it turns out that can make you kind of a radical, which is kind of where I sit right now. I'm radical
too,
because
buddy.
Of what happened.
Believe me, I've been sitting in the tree a while.
I know it, bud. I'm climbing the
Kyle
tree behind
Servin,
you.
We love you. Let's talk again soon. Be safe, brother. I'm calling you right now. Right, I want to know about the CIA stuff.
Okay.
And the other thing.
Got it.
I'll call you right now. We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theauctionstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. 4 or 5 great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small, nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire With Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. Yes, those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back, got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get Methylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, and more, and check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.